Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part. You'll see how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's New Covenant Month here at Basic Gospel. Here's the signature verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. So if you like to memorize certain passages of Scripture, we certainly encourage you to underline this one and memorize it, because it really is foundational to understanding the purposes God has for your life. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So when Paul went to all the various places that he did on his missionary journeys, he went as a minister of the new covenant. Why? Because he was there to minister life to those who were dead in sin. That's the great gospel story, and that's what it does in our lives. It gives us life, life everlasting. But as far as this new covenant is concerned, when you really start digging, some of the things you see in the Word of God just blow your mind. I mean, they're just stunning in their reality. And it's stuff that we don't normally think about. And so we have to ask the question, does the Bible really say that? And Andrew, I know that's something that you've been talking about out at Ecclesia Church in Lubbock, Texas on Sundays. And what are some of the things that the Bible really does say about this new covenant as it relates to the old covenant?
Well, Bob, it seems like folks are always wanting to mix the two. They want to have a nice balance of the old covenant and the new covenant. We think that it's better theology to have a balance of the two. But, you know, the Apostle Paul and the writer of Hebrews and God himself, they just won't let us have it that way. The Bible has some shocking things in it. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, it says that the old covenant is set aside. It says in Hebrews 7 that it's set aside because it was weak and useless. So it reminds me of when I was watching that movie recently about Marie Antoinette. She goes off into the forest where she's supposed to get out of her carriage and then cross over from Austria to France. So she's doing this border crossing, and I mean, they strip her down, her clothes are taken from her, her dog is taken from her, and she enters into France leaving everything else behind. She's abandoned it, she's ditched it, she's got something better, she's royalty. And so for the Jewish reader of Hebrews, I mean, they are invited to abandon the old way of the law and leave it all behind and grab a hold of the grace of Jesus Christ and say that he's enough. And through him, they too become a royalty, royal priests, we're called. So for the Jewish person, it's a real struggle. Abandon the old and take hold of the new. But for the Gentile, and that's you and me and everybody else out there who's not a Jewish person, for us, it's not that we abandon the old. Really, we were never given the old covenant. We were never given the law. The Gentile was never invited to that table. So for us, it's the new or it's nothing at all. And so, you know, you read these passages and you say, does the Bible really say that? And it reminds me of, you know, a wind-up watch. It's still around. Some people have those wind-up watches, but let me tell you, they are aging and they are ready to disappear. And it's because we've got something so much better. We're not going to wake up every day and try to sustain a watch and maintain a watch by winding it with human effort every day. And in the same way, the old covenant is now obsolete and aging and will soon disappear. It's not for Christians. We're under grace, not under law. But this is, you know, this is radical stuff, Bob. And so people are saying, does the Bible really say this?
And the answer is a resounding yes, it does. And when you're confronted with it, then you have to make a decision. What am I going to do with it? If God said that he set aside the old to establish the new, what am I going to do with that? Am I going to keep hanging on to what God said he set aside? Or am I going to let go of that so that I can fully embrace all the promises and this new life that's in the new covenant? That's the decision that's set before us. And I think the Word of God compels us to drop the old and grab hold of the new.
Absolutely. We hope you'll embrace the opportunity to give us a call right now and join the conversation. That number, 800-677-9377. The lines are pretty much wide open right now, so if you call now, you will get through. Again, 800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Wilmington, North Carolina, and talk with Doug, listening to us on WMYT. Hi, Doug.
Hi. I have two questions, but my question involving the new covenant is concerning the servants and the talents that the parable Jesus gave about the three servants, and some of the servants, they invested it, they did good, but then the last servant, you know, I couldn't tell there was any difference between the servants, and the last servant is like condemned and thrown into some type of weeping and gnashing of teeth or something, you know. And I was trying to figure out how the new covenant is involved in that. And my second question is just, where can I get resources or more detailed books on the teachings of grace and like textbooks, like college material, you know, like in-depth stuff, like concerning context? Because a lot of these arguments and things I'm studying, you know, it's all about context, and I don't know how or where to look to understand how to find the context of certain scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Well, Doug, some thoughts on the servants and the talents. First of all, this is before the church. This is before Pentecost. This is before, we become children of God. And so Jesus is talking about these servants, and I think our first tendency is to run to any Bible passage and say, where am I? Where am I? I got to find myself in this passage. And so anytime there's a parable or a teaching, we're wondering, where am I in this chapter? And what I want to encourage you to consider is that the servants are humans. They're not Christians, they're just humans, and that's why some of them end up in a fiery punishment and others don't. And so then you say, well, what are these humans, investing in or not investing in? And the answer is the gospel. This is very similar to the seed that falls on the many soils. One soil yields fruit and the other soil doesn't because it's rocky and it doesn't respond. And so in the same way, these servants, they were given something. Some people hear a bit of the gospel, a whole lot of the gospel, a ton of the gospel, and some people invest in it and get a return on the gospel, but others just bury it in the ground and say, well, they're misunderstanding God, just like the one servant. He buried it in the ground and he feared the king. He said, I know that you're a strict man, and he feared him. And a lot of people have misunderstood the gospel. They bury it in the ground. They don't invest in it, and therefore they don't get a return on it. I think the truth that sets us free in this matter is, number one, there's no way that a Christian ends up in a fiery fate. And number two, these servants that Jesus is speaking of, they're humans, not Christians. And there's many different responses that humans can have to the gospel. Some people investing in it and some people turning their head and burying it in the ground.
Doug,
does that help some?
Yeah, that does help.
And, as far as resources, I don't know how scholarly you want to go in terms of citations and other literature out there. But, you can go on the Basic Gospel website and look at some of the resources there. I have some books. Maybe the first book you might want to consider is God Without Religion. If you have not read that yet, God Without Religion is the most thorough book that I have on what the new covenant is. But I also want to draw your attention to this product that we've been featuring today. I mean, it is literally an outline of all the major and important scriptures that a person needs to grab a hold of in order to have a deeper understanding of this new covenant.
Doug, that resource is called The New Covenant Journey, It's just, like Andrew was saying, it looks at all the different aspects of the gospel and really reveals those passages, asks some very pointed questions about those passages to help you draw out the information. And all of those questions are asked within the context of those verses. So we would love to send that to you. I think you would really enjoy it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the whole context issue, it's like it's difficult sometimes to search out and discover in all these topics, you know. I know a lot of times it's about context.
Yeah, well, the other thought I have is if you're wanting New Testament commentaries, I mean, if you're able to jot these down or refer to this program again, you know, Ray Stedman has a great book called From Guilt to Glory, and it's about Romans. It's basically a conversational commentary on Romans called From Guilt to Glory. And then Andrew Murray has a book that's rather old but good, and it's on Hebrews. A lot that J. Vernon McGee has to say, I think, is very valuable. You have to, read everything anyone writes carefully. But those are three other resources, you know, that aren't, everyday books, paperbacks, but they are commentaries, and they're quite good.
Well, Doug, let me put you on hold, and we'll get your information and send you that Bible study guide. And then check out our website, Andrew's website at andrewfarley.org. Is that right, Andrew?
Yes, sir.
And then, I hope you jotted down some of those other books that Andrew mentioned. But
yeah.
You hang on, Doug. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Time on the clock, friends. Open lines, 1-800-677-9377. We want you to be a part of the conversation. Again, 800-677-9377. And Bob, Richard, Andrew, want to let our listeners know that this new resource that we have called the New Covenant Journey, it's the Basic Gospel Study Series, and it's available to you right now for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And you can make your gift by going to our website, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can call and speak with our operator during Central Time office hours. That, of course, would be 9 to 6 Central Time at 1-800-727-2828. Again, 1-800-727-2828. The New Covenant Journey, the study guide, is yours for a gift of any amount to this ministry.
Yes, indeed.
And we have a question from Jeff, who writes to us from the Memphis area. Says, what is Paul talking about in 1 Corinthians 9:27 when he feared being disqualified? And a second part of that question, he says, also, in the letters to the churches in Revelation, why does God spew us out of his mouth? That's from Jeff in Memphis.
Yeah, Jeff, well, thanks for writing to us, and we certainly always appreciate those folks who send email questions to us. We love addressing those. You can do so by just writing to Bob at basicgospel.net. If you have questions, just send them to Bob at basicgospel.net. We will address them on a future program. But as far as this 1 Corinthians 9 passage, what in the world was Paul talking about there, Richard, as far as not being disqualified? Is that salvation? Is he talking about salvation?
No, he's not talking about salvation. He's making a comparison to something that the Corinthians would have understood, obviously, because it happened there all the time. Corinth was the host for something called the Isthmian Games, and people came. It was like the Olympics, and people came and they competed, and if you competed properly, you could win a prize, but if you competed improperly, you would be disqualified from the race or from the boxing match or the wrestling or whatever it was. And that's what he's referring to in his own, in this chapter. He's talking about his rights as an apostle and how he uses his freedom, and yet doing so in a self-disciplined, spirit-led way so that he is not disqualified from being a minister of the gospel. He's not talking about losing salvation, but about his own vocation as the apostle to the Gentiles.
Right, absolutely. And then this passage in Revelation about being spewed out of God's mouth, again, we look at that and think, see, there's loss of salvation. I know, Andrew, you've fielded that question a number of times, and how do you address that? What kind of hope and assurance do you give to folks who are struggling with that particular verse, fearful that they might be spewed out of God's mouth?
Yeah, well, you know, hot water or a hot refreshment is pretty soothing. It has a purpose. It has an identity. It's a soother. And then cold water, well, of course, is very refreshing, too. I mean, if you're sweating bullets, you're ready to drink a cold drink. And so they both have their purpose, their meaning, their identity. They serve a specific purpose. They exist for a reason. And so when God is addressing this church, it just so happens that we believe that there was a town just north of the town he's talking to, and then another town just south. And one of these towns was known for its hot springs, and the other was known for its cold springs. And here was this third place caught in the middle, neither hot, neither with hot springs, neither or with cold springs. And so it's really genius. I mean, it is a genius analogy. God is drawing upon literal physical geography, and yet he's saying to them, you need an identity. You need a purpose. Maybe you've lost sight of your first love, Jesus Christ, and you've drifted in your thinking, in your actions. And so, you know, what do we do with water or a drink that's not quite hot enough and not quite cold enough? It doesn't soothe and it doesn't refresh. We're just like, yuck, what is this for? And so, you know, it's really spurring them. It's spurring them to consider where they're at, the attitudes they have, the focus they have. And I think God's whole point is, you know, I don't care if you decide to be cold or if you decide to be hot, just decide to be something by centering your life on Jesus. And as a church, you need to have a purpose and a focus.
Well, Andrew, I was just sitting here thinking that's what all the Dallas Cowboy fans are saying here in Dallas about the Cowboys. Man, get hot or cold, do something.
Yeah.
This spewing begins.
This 8-8 stuff is for the birds.
Exactly.
Yeah, I tell you what.
Well, it sounds like a good hot sports opinion.
That's right.
Thanks, Bob.
That's exactly right. Well, you know, this is New Covenant Month. We do have open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Come in, be a part of today's broadcast. We would love to talk with you. So join the conversation. Again, 1-800-677-9377. You know, this new covenant, there's this signature verse that we've been talking about, the fact that the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. Those stand as the two purposes. And God is behind both. I mean, God had a purpose with the law. He gave the law. It's holy, righteous, and just. But he had a limited purpose for it. It wasn't all-encompassing. It wasn't there to impart life. It wasn't there to justify. It wasn't there to make us right in God's sight. It wasn't there for daily living. It had a separate purpose. And this new covenant is the covenant of life. But you get a lot of pushback when you talk about that. I mean, a whole bunch of pushback. Why? Because it doesn't sit in a person's mind as being right. But I think that's evidence that we need to consider it. Because if it feels natural to us, we know it may not be right.
Probably not godly.
That's exactly right. So we really need to embrace this new covenant and really get into the Word of God and say, does the Word really say that? Does the Word really say that God remembers our sins no more, and where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin? Does the Bible really say that? And if it does really say that, what in the world does it mean to us? And that's where this issue of faith comes in. We have the message, and then we have faith. And how do we respond to faith? What does faith look like? And guys, I think that's where a lot of times the confusion lies. Sometimes it's in, you know, what the message is to begin with. We're confused over that. But then when we kind of get all on the same page as what the message is, then confusion arises about what faith in the message looks like. And so that's where a lot of the arguments and a lot of the division and a lot of the heated debates come in is in this issue of faith. How have you guys dealt with that or handled that?
Yeah, you know, I think people can make too much out of their own faith. I tell people, you know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. So, you know, the theme of our program and the ministry of Basic Gospel is hear it and then believe it and live it. So apparently faith comes by hearing. And so, you know, the first part is exposure, and we need time and truth. And then, you know, I think there are misunderstandings along the way. I mean, people say, gosh, you're ditching the Old Testament law. You're ditching it. You're not respecting it. You're bashing it. Well, it's actually the opposite. I mean, Romans 3:31 says that by faith we uphold the law. Now, that doesn't mean that we obey the law, 613 commands. We're not going to start throwing out our clothes that are spun of more than one linen and get rid of our shrimp cocktail. You know, we're not fulfilling the law daily. But what this verse means in Romans 3:31, when it says we uphold the law, it means, look, we're holding it up on a pedestal. We're saying, we are fully admitting it is not just difficult, it's impossible. It's not just mildly perfect, it's totally perfect. It's a perfect, impossible standard, and that's why we need grace instead.
So, and we agree with its judgment against us. I mean, the law is speaking a word of judgment. And when we turn to Christ by faith, we're actually admitting that we agree with that judgment. We count it as fair and just and recognize that our just reward is death. And we say, Lord Jesus, thank you for taking that for us.
Yeah, and if we turn around and then flirt with the law again, now that's disrespecting the law. You don't go grabbing 8 or 10 or 12 things out of it and say, look at me. That is totally disrespecting the law. So that's why we're so adamant that, you know, we are dead to the law completely and we're under grace entirely. And we don't want to flirt with the law because that is to disrespect it.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's quickly go to Indianapolis and talk with Dee, listening to us on WBRI. Hi, Dee.
Hi, guys.
Welcome. What's
I
on
really
your mind?
I really enjoy the program, and I find myself going closer and closer to God daily, just learning how to live by grace through faith and not by any works that I do or I don't do. It's so liberating to know that it is by grace through faith.
Yes, indeed.
It's that basic.
Not only for salvation, but for daily life. That's the great news, isn't it?
Yes, great news. Now, how do I teach that to the next generation of Christians, children ages 4 through 12, that it's not about religion, but it's about relationship? What would you suggest as far as teaching
generation? Here's what I would suggest. Jeannie Thompson, who's on our staff, has actually written a couple of things directed toward children about this new covenant. So let me put you on hold, and we'll tell you how you can pick up some of those resources that would be valuable to you in communicating this good news to kids. So you hang on, okay, Dee? All right, you hold on.
Thanks, Dee, and thanks to everybody who joined us for this edition of Basic Gospel. And a reminder as we close the broadcast that when you support Basic Gospel, you're supporting more than just a radio program. The reason we're on the air live is to provide all the resources that you need to help spread the word, to share the life-changing, liberating truth of the love, grace, and life of Jesus Christ, as demonstrated through His death, burial, and resurrection. That is why we're on the air. And this month, we're offering a new and exciting resource to each of you who give a gift of any amount. It's our latest, just-released Basic Gospel study series called The New Covenant Journey. You'll find it when you stop by to make your gift at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator at 800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time. And The New Covenant Journey Bible Study Series is yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. A reminder, too, that there are many resources available to aid your understanding of the Christian life, and you can find a lot of them when you visit our store. Just visit store.basicgospel.net. And if you'd like to review each day's broadcast, or if there's some particular call you'd like to hear again, get on the email list. Click subscribe when you visit basicgospel.net. And if this broadcast is proving beneficial to you, well, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Now for Bob and Richard and Andrew and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.